Thank you, Cindy. Last week, Wade spoke of Jesus being the door, and he did a really good job talking about that. So if you missed that, I would encourage you to go on our website and look at that sermon from last week. And he also did a really good job of just stopping right when Jesus says, "I am the door." Because if you actually look at the whole passage, he stops right in the middle of a paragraph, right in the middle of the thought. And then this week, we're picking up that thought, picking up right in the middle of that passage, talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. And so I'm not going to be as good as Wade, right? I'm actually going to go a little bit into what Wade talked about, because it applies to us today on what Wade talked about last week about us being sheep and Jesus being the good shepherd. So having said that, let me go ahead and read our passage today. And if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10, 11 through 18. And if you didn't, or if you just don't want to look it up, it's up here on the thing, right? So let me go ahead and read that for you. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is again talking with the Jewish leaders, and there seems to be kind of a bigger crowd, right? That says he's not just talking to the Jewish leaders, but he's also talking to kind of the crowds and the multitudes. We're still trying to figure out, right, who Jesus is. And so they're always talking and interested in the work that he's doing in Jerusalem and in the outlying areas around Israel. In this exchange, Jesus is making a compare and contrast between himself, right, being the good shepherd, and against kind of the other people, whether these people take the shape of thieves or robbers or people who are hirelings, right, people who just are being paid essentially to watch over the sheep. And here Jesus is kind of making it obvious, right, that the people that are the robbers, are the thieves, are the hirelings, are really kind of the Jewish leaders of the day. There's kind of broader implications for this as well. There's also kind of this idea of, you know, a robber or a thief or these wolves here could actually be maybe an entity or Satan himself, a false teacher, right, that is trying to harm, in our present day, harm the Church of Christ, right? When we look at this and we look at kind of biblical literature, this is an allegory, right? And so so a lot of these imageries, the thief, the robber, the wolf, can take on many different forms, and it's still a little permissible because of the literary style that Jesus is using. So this is an allegory. So these things can, you know, mean one thing back then, and actually kind of might have some relevance for us today, that Jesus here in this passage, bringing this into this century, you know, the wolves here, the robbers, the thieves could be, you know, those false teachers trying to harm Christ, or some sort of entity in the world that is also trying to harm Christ, right? To corrupt his teaching or lead people away from the truth of Jesus' testimony about himself. But Jesus, his main point here is that he is showing them what the good shepherd does. Right? Jesus is the good shepherd. He is a friend to the sheep. With this friendship comes many great blessings. In verses 3 and 4 in this passage, we learn that as sheep, we know the voice of the shepherd. Right? We understand who to follow. We will not listen to the voice of others. We will not listen to the robbers or the thieves or the wolves. Jesus will call us by our names. We will have this intimate knowledge of who Jesus is. Jesus also will be leading us, right? It is Jesus who will guide us as and shepherd us. He will shepherd us in our lives to help us and direct us. He will lead us into good pastures and be our protector. In all of life's circumstances and situations, Jesus is there as our good shepherd. Jesus will protect us from the wolves and the thieves that are out there in life trying to snatch us from the fold. In verse 4, it tells us that Jesus will go before us. He will lead us. We will hear his voice in our lives, leading and guiding us. Right? So the good shepherd knows us, calls us by name. He goes out before us. Another aspect of the good shepherd is actually found in verse 9 and 10, that we are saved by him, and that no one else can do this. Right? Wade did a great job last Sunday about Jesus, speaking about Jesus as being the door. And he does this, right, being the door, being the only way in and out of that sheepfold, because he is the good shepherd. Right? He saves us and leads us to pasture. He leads us to places, right, that give us life and growth. He leads us in paths and in life that lead us to life and sustenance. Right? Now, what does this mean? Does it mean that, you know, Jesus, we can ask him for anything that we desire and he gives it to us? Is that what it means when Jesus says in verse 10 that I'm giving you life in abundance? You know, does it mean that all of our material needs will always be just riches and lavishness? You know, it's like, no, that's not quite what Jesus is getting at. Right? Sometimes Jesus does give us material blessings. Sometimes he does. But we must look at all of Scripture and see what Scripture says. In fact, in 2 Timothy, Paul, as he is encouraging a young pastor named Timothy to be holy and pursue Jesus and to be this great example to the flock there, in 2 Timothy 3:12, he says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if that's really a great encouraging thing to say to someone, but it's a good sobering gut check. You know, like hey, we are as God's sheep supposed to follow Jesus, mimic Jesus, and be part of Jesus. But remember, right? There will be persecutions. There are the thieves. There are the robbers. There are the wolves out there in our life. So even though Jesus leads us and guides us, it does not mean that everything will be easy, right, or happy in life. But what this passage does mean is that you have an ever-present help in the person of Jesus. That Jesus never will abandon you nor forsake you. He will always be there to help you and guide you in your life. Whether it's through the community of believers, like those around you, or maybe just a direct encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is always there for you as the Good Shepherd. He is always your guide. Because of this, then Jesus can declare that you will have life and have it abundantly. Now, these ideas are contrasted in this allegory, right? Jesus is the good shepherd, but there are others who tend the flock. And this is kind of getting into now our text today that we read. And these are the hired hands, right? The hired hands that Jesus is talking about. The people who would have been in charge of the flock, right? Supposedly to watch over him or to watch over the flock and kind of act as maybe a good shepherd, but they're never as good as Jesus. Again, these religious leaders here of the day, Jesus is really kind of, he's saying this allegory just to kind of hint at, hey, it's these guys that I'm talking with. It's the leaders that are going to run away. And these hired hands, they might be some good ones, right? They might even try to fight and protect the flock a little bit. But because the sheep aren't really theirs, when they're faced with a wolf or faced with danger, they might try to defend the flock a little bit. But when their life is in danger, they're going to choose their life over the sheep's. They're going to choose their lives over protecting the sheep's lives. I'm reminded, actually, of a small business owner who runs their own company, right? Has a small staff that he or she employs. And those workers, right, might work fairly hard for the owner, right? They might work on weekends for them. They might work on holidays a little bit for them because they might believe in the owner. They might like the owner. They might even, like the mission of the work that's going on. But in the end, when it comes down to it, if those employers, if their lives, if their livelihood is on the line or their work just isn't quite fulfilling them or satisfying them, paying them as well as they might have thought, then eventually they're gonna leave and just kind of find another job or a better place to work. Right? But the owner of that business, right, that business is theirs. They are invested, heart and soul. They own it. They have this emotional tie to the business that the others just don't have, right? So they're there working later than everyone else. They're there arriving early, right? Working late, not only on business days, but all the time. They could even be filling holes and gaps in their employment. When someone leaves, they can't hire anyone right away. So now they're working maybe two jobs. I've heard a lot of private business owners talk that they've worked like twice and three times as hard when they've owned their own business than when they've worked, for like a big company or a big organization. And it's because one, they have to, but two, a lot of times they want to, right? They're invested in it. They're emotionally in it. And Jesus here is making this comparison, right? Jesus as the good shepherd, he owns and knows his sheep. Right there in verse 14, it says, "I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus is invested. He knows who are his. He knows who are his. He is incredibly invested into his sheep. Jesus is the one working harder for us than any other person who has ever watched over us before. Jesus is out there protecting and leading us out into pastures so we can live life and have it abundantly. It's also pretty amazing at how far Jesus goes for his sheep. Jesus at the end of verse 15 says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Right, Jesus is giving his life for the sheep. It's incredible, and it compels and demands our worship and obedience, right? That Jesus would lay down his life for his sheep. And it's kind of interesting here because this story turns, like, we know the end of the story. We know what's going to happen, right? And so it's kind of interesting because here Jesus is kind of shifting a bit from allegory to truth, right? We know that Jesus is now talking about his literal death that's going to unfold in the story. That not only as the good shepherd, he might lay down his life for the sheep. No, but in fact, he does give his life for the sheep. He does so willingly. Right in verse 17 and 18, "I lay down my life." And then a little bit later, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." Jesus lays down his life willingly for us, his sheep. This is one of the best examples of how much Jesus loves us. Right? He came down to endure just a sham trial, to be falsely tried and persecuted. He came down to be beaten and flogged and nailed on a cross for us. And he did this knowing that we needed it as sheep to make us part of his flock. That we couldn't have life with him until this happened. It's just the best example of how of Christ's goodness. The ultimate way that Jesus is the good shepherd is right here in the fact that he lays down his life for us. It's amazing because it's only Jesus who can do this, right? He has the authority. It's not that the wolf here in this passage, you know, gets the upper hand, or that the wolf is somehow sneakier, right, and gets the best of Jesus, right? It's not like that, right? It's only because Jesus has the authority to do so. It is only Jesus that has the right and authority to lay down his own life. Not only lay down his own life, right, but he is able to take it up again. Right? Jesus, because he is God, he can do this. He has the authority to lay it down. He has the authority to lay down his life for us and then miraculously take it up again. In verse 16, it says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." This flock that Jesus is dying for is multicultural. It's multi-ethnic. Jesus has come to point the world to his sacrifice for our sin so that we can finally have life, true life, in Jesus. So as the good shepherd, Jesus calls, leads, protects, knows, owns, and sacrifices himself for his sheep. It is Jesus working, pursuing, calling us into his fold from every nation and tribe so that we can all be united and called into the sheepfold of Jesus. It is the authority of the good shepherd that he can do this amazing act of bringing all of these sheep together, because Jesus is leading us, protecting us, as the good shepherd, then we as his sheep cannot be separated from him. We cannot lose our identity as sheep. It is the very Son of God, the God-man Jesus, who is protecting us and watching over us. It is the God-man Jesus who has laid down his life for us. So with the same power and authority that he has to lay down his life and then take it up again, it is the same power and authority that he's using to guide us and watch over us. When Jesus is leading us and bringing us into his fold, then we are surely protected. We cannot lose our identity as sheep. Or in other words, because it is God who has called out to us and laid down his life for us, then we cannot lose our salvation. We cannot lose our identity. This idea is reasoned from this allegory, but it is plainly stated elsewhere in John's gospel. In John chapter 6, it's actually a pretty prominent teaching point in that section. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." And again in John 6:39, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." This is one of the best privileges that we get to enjoy as part of God's sheepfold. Right? It's not just in John. The Apostle Paul says that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a pretty complete list, right? It's like long, right? And that's so good, right? We can move through life knowing that our good shepherd will never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever we have done in our past or whatever we might do in the future, our good shepherd will never leave us. We cannot break our bond from the good shepherd. Jesus is always at the ready to protect and defend us from the thieves and robbers and wolves of the world. But understanding, right, that even though we have that protection, there will be those robbers, there will be those wolves, right? There will be persecution and people and entities trying to snatch us away from him. Right? But just that Jesus is ours and we are his. Right? Doesn't mean that everything will be great and easy, but it does mean that Christ is always there for us. Even if we actually lose our lives here on this earth, right? We will always be with Jesus. And so what are some practical applications of this passage? I have one, and I hope it's encouraging to you, is that the biggest thing is that we are known and owned by Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This might seem like a weird thing to say nowadays, that we are known and owned by something else, by someone else, but I think nothing can be more important for us as we grow in our understanding of Christ, that we are known and owned by Jesus. Over and over again, the scriptures make declarations very similar to this, that we are not our own. Right, that we are no longer people of darkness, but we're people of light. That we're no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. Right, we are people of light, people of Jesus. No longer are we to live our former ways or under our former passions and lusts, but we are to live fully in the light of Jesus. Jesus has laid down his life for us, and because of that, we are now to live lives fully obedient to him. We run to him when he calls, when he is teaching us and speaking to us through the scriptures. We are to submit to his way and his teaching, even if it flies in the face of modern day sensibilities and the cultural climate of the day. We are supposed to follow Christ. We are to listen to the voice of our master. He is good. He will protect us and help us and guide us as the good shepherd. Another aspect of this ownership is that it is a new identity for us. Here in this passage, right, we have that phrase in verse 16, that Jesus has other sheep who are not of the fold, who he has to bring into his fold so that we will be one fold, right? We are these sheep being called out from a different flock to be made the flock of Jesus. We are no longer African. We are no longer American. We're no longer Czech. We're no longer Korean or Japanese, right? Nor are we to primarily align ourselves with a political agenda or a political identity, right? But we are first and foremost Christians. Within Christ, we find our identity. We are given a new identity. We are also no longer defined by our sin. And this helps us so much if we are tormented by a lasting sin, whether it's lust or anger or lying or deception, right? We are no longer defined by the bad things that we do, but we are defined by what Christ has done in our life. That we are now sons and daughters of Christ. We now are truly of the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. We are his, and he is ours. So when temptations come in to try and convince us otherwise, remember that you are Christ's. You are part of his sheepfold. You are his, and he has changed you. Nothing can change that fact. In fact, that identity should be changing us each and every day. To summarize this then, Jesus has declared himself to be the Good Shepherd. We are no longer of our sheepfold, but he has brought us into his fold. It is in him where we now find our identity, where we find our guidance in this life, because he is the Good Shepherd. And we are his sheep. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just your amazing truth that you have to declare to us and to tell us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would just be changed. Be changed because of who you are and what you have just miraculously done for us. God, we love you and we want to honor you and to worship you even more. Heavenly Father, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship through song.